So as you can see, Paul's third missionary journey ended in Jerusalem. So look at Silas just said, that's a lot. A lot of miles that he traveled. And you see the two from Assos and Troas right up there in the middle. Because we're going to cover that in just a minute. But in Acts chapter 20, I want us to read verses 7 through 12. Acts chapter 20. It says, now on the first day of the week, when the disciples came together to break bread, Paul, ready to depart the next day, spoke to them and continued his message until midnight. This is at Troas, when he was at Troas. There were many lamps in the upper room where they were gathered together. And in a window sat a certain young man named Eutychus, who was sinking into a deep sleep. Makes me feel better that, you know, there was somebody sleeping while Paul was preaching, because some of you have fallen asleep while I'm preaching. I have seen it. I'm just telling you. So Eutychus is falling asleep while Paul is sleeping, while Paul is preaching, and he's sinking in, but he's sitting in a window on the third story. Not a good idea to fall asleep in a window in the third story. So he fell down. He was overcome by sleep, it says. And as Paul continued speaking, he fell down from, this is not funny. He fell down from the third story and was taken up dead. Like, this is serious. I mean, Paul is preaching. Eutychus is, I mean, some of y'all, I'm just going to tell you, it's funny because some of y'all go, some of you try harder than others. I'm just telling you. But it's, you know, it's really quite funny to watch. But anyhow, so Paul is preaching. Eutychus is further and further falling into a deeper and deeper sleep sitting in this window. And all of a sudden, he falls out of the window three stories and hits the ground. And they take him up dead, it says. But Paul went down, fell on him, and embracing him said, do not trouble yourselves, for his life is in him. Now when he had come up, had broken bread and eaten, and talked a long while, even till daybreak, he departed, and they brought the young man in alive, and they were not a little comforted. Understandably so. Father, thank you for your word that challenges us. Thank you for our missionaries that are here tonight, God. And just thank you for being so faithful to us. Lord, let us learn from you tonight, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. So, I just want to point out, sometimes, right in the midst of what God is doing, tragedy strikes. Here, Paul is in the middle of preaching. He is on a missionary journey. He is speaking to the people and sharing and preaching. And while he's preaching, a guy dies, falls out of the window and dies while he's speaking. Now, Paul didn't quit and go, why am I even preaching? God, I can't believe you let that happen. He didn't quit and get mad at God that it happened. He, I believe, was just in tune with the Holy Spirit and found out what to do next. And we're going to talk about that in a minute. Paul didn't close the meeting and hold a funeral. He didn't say, okay, you know what? I think I'm done preaching for tonight. Let's get the body ready and we're going to hold a funeral. He didn't do that. He went down and encouraged the people. He laid on him and said his life is still in him. Now, it says that he was dead. So it wasn't like he was just a little, like he fainted. I mean, he fell out of the window and was dead. But despite the fact that tragedy happened in the midst of Paul doing God's will, because sometimes we can get angry at God and go, God, how could you let this happen? I am doing your will. I am trying. I'm doing what you told me to do. But we can miss the miraculous if we get angry at God because of what we see in the natural. What we need to do is look in the supernatural, keep our eyes on Jesus, and ask God, okay, God, what do I do next? And if we learn to stay in communion with the Holy Spirit, he will show us what to do next. And so Paul didn't hold a funeral. He went down, encouraged the people. A miracle happened, and he kept on preaching until the morning. Just kept on going. So as I was studying this, I'm just going to be honest. I thought, God, I am so far from that. Like, that seems so far to go down after the guy falls out of the window and is dead and raise him from the dead. I mean, I just honestly, in my flesh, I thought, God, that's so far. But then I realized our job is just to walk so close to the Holy Spirit that we hear what he tells us to do. See, I don't have to seek God. I just want to be able to raise the dead. No, my goal is, God, I want to be so close to you that whatever you tell me to do, if you tell me to say yes and take a couple home, if it looks like that, I've had those moments where it's like almost you answer before you even realize. And you look back and go, God, that must have been you. Like you just, God will orchestrate things in our lives. And so if we will just stay in tune with him, and I just want you to understand, this happens in the day-to-day life. It happens as we say, God, all day, I just want to do your will. If I'm at work, if I'm at home, if I'm with my family, if I'm watching television, I want to do your will. I don't want to miss you. I don't want to, if I miss it, I want to keep short accounts with you, like my mom always says. If I step out of line, if I overreact, if I say something wrong, I want to repent right then. I want to get it straight, God, and I want to stay in communion with you. And I want to hear what you have me to do. And so I thought, Lord, I'm seeking to do that. Like I have never had somebody die while I was preaching and go and raise them from the dead. I haven't experienced that yet. But I am trying to, Holy Spirit, I just want to hear what you would have me to do. Whatever that looks like. If that looks like giving a word to somebody in church, if that looks like saying, you know, God loves you to somebody, or God has led me to tell women that they're beautiful at different places. One day in Dollar General, I felt like the Lord just prompted me, tell that woman how beautiful she is. And she said, oh, wow, it just shocked her. But I believe it was a word. I believe that was a spiritual moment that the Lord led me to say that to her. If we will just be tuned in with the Holy Spirit to do those things, then when it's time to raise the dead, we're used to walking with him already. It's not that we're seeking, God, I just want to raise the dead. God, I just want to walk with you. If that looks like speaking to someone, if that looks like taking somebody home, if that looks like going to Spain, if that looks like raising the dead, God, whatever it looks like, that's what I want to do. And it is a beautiful thing, honestly, to walk with him. And so often we accept things that are not God's will because we don't know any better, because we're not focused on his perspective. We just go, well, that just must have been God's will. People say that about tragedy that happens that is not God's will. They could, well, I guess it was just Eutychus' time to go. It was not his time to go. It was time for him to be raised from the dead. And Paul, because he was tuned in with the Holy Spirit, God raised him from the dead. And so we seek him. We learn to see from his perspective so that we'll see and hear what he wants us to say, what he wants us to see. Psalm 32:8, the Lord gave me, and that is such a powerful promise. It says, I will instruct you and teach you in the way that you should go. I will guide you with my eye. We can learn to see from his perspective, from the way that he sees things, from the way that he sees people. But it comes in the everyday moments. It comes in the time when we get alone with God, when we go into our room and shut the door, like Matthew 6 says. And we remember, Father, you said that if I go and I close the door, that you are already there in the secret place. And so when we get into the secret place, it doesn't matter if I feel spiritual. It doesn't matter if I feel God. It doesn't matter if I feel tired and I don't feel like praying. I go, God, you said that when I went in to close the door, that you were already, that you were in the secret place and that you would hear me and reward me openly. And as we begin to do that, I will tell you this, you will begin to get hungry for his presence, to where even this kind of gathering, which is wonderful, and I love it. I love gathering with people. This weekend we were at church ministries, we heard preaching and we did worship and all of those things. But even in the midst of all that, a lot of times I'm just like, God, I just want to get alone with you. I just want to be with you. Paul walked in communion with the Holy Spirit, and so he showed him what to do. We can walk in such close communion with the Holy Spirit at work, at school, at home, at church, so that in each circumstance, we learn to be listening to how he would have us to respond to each situation. And that's how we see the miraculous, whatever it looks like. And so Eutychus, which is very interesting to me, Eutychus in the Greek, it means fortunate or well-favored. God knew who Eutychus was. That's not an accident. God knew that, you know, he had a plan for Eutychus' life. And so it wasn't an accident, and it wasn't luck either. God had a plan for him, and God knew who he was. God knows. We need to really understand this. God knows all about the people in our world, whoever they are. The people at school, the people at work, the people in our family. He knows all about them. And so if we will learn, rather than worrying and wringing our hands and trying to figure out what to do on our own, if we will learn to say, God, you know exactly what I need to do here. You know how to reach these people. You know how to minister to these people. You know what to do in this situation. And so as we open more and more and more of our world up to him, and sometimes that comes by closing the door on some things that he's saying no to. And it can be hard sometimes on the flesh when the Lord says, you need to let go of that. You need to stop doing that. You need to stop thinking about that. But if we will realize that there is always a reward when it comes from relationship with God, and as we say no to the weights that are so easily besetting us, we can run better and we can walk closer. And if so, we will realize, oh, I just have to sacrifice so much to be a Christian. I just have to give up so much stuff. It is not like that. As we learn to say no to the things, now the flesh will tell you that in the moment. You know, the flesh will scream at you like, oh, I'm so hungry, or oh, I just want some coffee, or oh, I just want to watch TV, or oh, I just need a veg, or oh, you know, whatever. But when we learn to see things in the supernatural and to realize that anything that God says let go of, it's always because he wants to take us further with him. And further with him is always better. It's always better. And so God knows all about the people in our world. He knows them intimately. And so we need to listen to him to know how to best minister to them, especially in times of tragedy. And this is why we as Christians have got to learn not to, with like everybody else in our world, fall into the feelings that they're feeling and allow those things to suck us in, because life will just suck you in. But see, Paul didn't do that. He didn't go, oh my gosh, what are we going to do? I mean, you know, maybe he had a moment like that. He was human. So maybe initially he thought, what in the world? Like, how do I handle this? You know, maybe he stole away for a minute. And as he's walking down the stairs, Lord, what am I going to do here? But when that becomes, the more and more that that becomes your default, the more and more that you go quicker and less to worry and more to hope to the Holy Spirit. Lord, what do we do here? God, what is my next step here? How would you have me to respond here? And that's why walking in communion with him is such a precious thing, because it becomes more of a default. Rather than worry, it becomes to God, what do you want me to do here? And I believe probably as he's walking down those stairs, he is just listening to the Holy Spirit. Okay, God, he is building up his faith. Almighty God, what would you can heal. He had already seen the miraculous. You can raise this boy from the dead. I mean, he's just praying and waiting and listening maybe to the Holy Spirit. And so when he got down there, I believe God had already revealed to him, his life is in him. And then we just speak out what God has revealed to us about the situation. And as we do that, then God involves us in his miraculous process. And it's beautiful. Verse 13. I want to look there for just a minute. It says, then we went ahead to the ship and sailed to Assos, there intending to take Paul on board, for so he had given orders, intending himself to go on foot. Now, this says, Eliot's commentary said that this port was about 24 miles to the south of Troas, but Paul wanted to walk. It says, actually, James Fawcett Brown commentary says, this is a sail of nearly 40 miles, whereas by land, cutting right across in a southeasterly direction from sea to sea, by that excellent Roman road which then existed, the distance was scarcely more than half, so about 24 miles. The one way Paul wished his companions to take, while he himself, longing perhaps to enjoy a period of solitude, took the other, joining the ship by appointment at Assos. I personally, when I was thinking about this, I just believe he just needed some time, just him and God. And he thought, Lord, I just want to be with you. I'm just going to walk. You guys go ahead and sail and we will meet you. Oh, I will meet you over there. Jesus would go and spend all night in prayer. I don't believe he was like, oh, well, I guess I just need to pray all night. I believe he was so hungry for communion with his Father that he thought, God, I just need to be with you, Father. I just need to hear what you want to say to me, what you have for me. And so we can get to that place where we're just hungry to be with him. And if you're not there, just admit it to him. The Bible says, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. Many times I have said, God, will you just make me hungry? Will you just make me hungry for the things of you, for your word, for prayer, for what you want to speak to me? And he will do that. Verse 22 through 24, and I want to end with these verses. He said, and see, now I go bound in the Spirit to Jerusalem, not knowing the things that will happen to me there, except that the Holy Spirit testifies in every city, saying that chains and tribulations await me. But none of these things move me, nor do I count my life dear to myself, so that I may finish my race with joy and the ministry which I received from the Lord Jesus to testify to the gospel of the grace of God. Paul, inspired by the Holy Spirit, wrote to the church at Philippi in Philippians 1:21, for me to live is Christ and to die is gain. He believed that. And so he wasn't just saying something a quotable here. None of these things move me. This was how he felt. None of these things move me. It doesn't matter if everybody tells me that I'm going to go to prison and they're going to kill me. I would rather do the will of God. And we can get to that place. That's the beauty of, Paul said, imitate me as I imitate Christ. Listen, we do not have to see these people in the Bible as so far removed that we can never walk like they did. They were humans who walked with Jesus, who let the Holy Spirit lead them. There is no reason that we cannot walk in that same power and communion as we surrender to him. And so he said, for me to live is Christ and to die is gain. You know, that might sound and look really radical, but that's what the world needs right now. And that's what we need as Christians, because so often we miss out on the joy of Christianity by having a little bit of it and a lot of the world. And that is why God begins to ask us to give up things. Not because he's mean and he doesn't want us to have any fun or he doesn't want us to enjoy the world that we live in. In fact, Ecclesiastes say it is the gift of God, you know, to enjoy these things. But when we begin to enjoy them with Jesus, with God, and as his gifts to us, then we be able to have fellowship with the one who created us, to walk in his will every day, to walk in rest and in peace because it's a promise that he gave us. It is the most fulfilling thing ever to live in the will of God. And that might sometimes look miraculous, but you know, we see all of the miracles that Paul accomplished, that God used him to accomplish, but he lived a lot of years. And the truth is, he lived a lot of days where maybe there was nothing miraculous that happened. Where maybe he just spent the day in prayer. Or he just, you know, talked to his friends. Or he, you know, ate some food and all of those kind of things. But his life was dedicated. Our goal needs to be, God, whatever my day looks like today, if I'm cleaning my house, if I'm doing my job, if I'm hanging with my children, if I'm hanging with my friends, if I'm at school, if I'm doing homework, whatever I'm doing, God, let me just walk in communion with you and do it the way you would have me to do it. And that is beautiful. And so I want to close with this song. I felt like the Lord brought this song to my mind. Of course, it comes right out of Philippians 1:21, for to me to live is Christ and to die is gain. And so this is how I just want us to close this service. Josiah's going to play this song. And I just ask you to just let this song be your prayer. And then I want the Lawsons to come up and I want us to pray for them, that God would just open doors in Spain. Cause I agree that the Lord will just save refugees and send them back to Syria. It is God's heart that lost people come to know Jesus. And that's one reason I love Missions Month, is it gets us out of our own focus of our own world. And it reminds us that there are people all over that have never heard the name of Jesus, that if given the opportunity would make a step that would change their eternal destination forever. And that they then can in turn change the destinations by speaking the truth to hundreds possibly of others. So we're going to get an agreement with them for what God is going to use them to accomplish. But first, as this song plays, I just invite you to let the Holy Spirit just use it as a prayer and allow God to just stir within you.